This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? Well, my theme for today is a trip to the country. I remember, and I'm glad Debbie you're here today. Debbie was a part of our congregation in Ahwatukee, where we served Church Family of Christ way back when, and was there about 16 years. And when we first moved from St. Louis to Ahwatukee to start a church there, there was nothing there in Ahwatukee, except for, it was a grocery store, but no shopping mall. I remember I had to go all the way to Fiesta Mall to go shopping. And these big roads and no cars and a lot of sheep and a lot of desert and nothing else. Well, things quickly changed, and Ahwatukee grew and grew and grew, and the church grew as well. After a while, though, after a few years, we had some challenges there at Family of Christ, and eventually I was lovingly released as we kid about that, and quite interesting. And so in the stress and all the congestion there, there were times where I felt like I had to get out and get out to the country, just get away from everything. Now, I'm not a farm boy, but I'm not exactly an urban or suburbanite either. I grew up in Springfield, Illinois, a town of about 100,000, so a medium-sized city, thank you very much. Still trying to get used to all the congested traffic here in the inner city. In Ahwatukee, we didn't have pedestrians. We didn't have to worry about buses. So coming out here, there's all kinds of people walking. You have to look out for buses, look out for pedestrians, and crazy drivers, right? So anyway, I would always go out to the country just to get away from it all. And I remember going in an area, a specific area, out in the southeast area, past Queen Creek, when I lived in Ahwatukee. And I'd just drive out there and among all the farm fields and orchards and wheat fields, and I would have a sense of peace that would come over me to get out away from it all and into the country. I would just love it. And when I was going through a difficult time, and it didn't look like my days at Family of Christ were many more, and we went through that, Debbie, and that was no fun. But God had a good idea. And that was not the end of my ministry like I thought it was. Because as I was looking at this huge wheat field, God told me, you will have a harvest in your ministry, larger even than what you have now. And it'll be beyond what you can imagine right now. So don't give up hope. And then we went to pick peaches, I remember, my family and I, Schnepp Farms out there. And as I was doing that, God says, I will give you more fruit in your ministry. Just hang in there. Well, I was loving the release. Not much fruit there. Ended up being a social worker. I was not trained to be a social worker. Don't have any education in social work. And lo and behold, God gave me a ministry there. And after trying some 40-some churches, Pastor Rick invited me to come here. And the rest is history. Amen. And doing things that I never did in Ahwatukee, like playing the drums and trying to speak Spanish, having a Spanish service, going to jail of all things, and doing a Spanish service in jail. And if you think about all the fruit and the harvest of this church and what's going on here, all the people that have come and gone that have learned to know Jesus Christ and then gone wherever, all over the world, it is amazing. We'll get to that later. But Jesus talked about here all of us taking a trip to the country. And what Jesus would do, he would oftentimes use parables. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So it uses something from agriculture or something very familiar to the people. And Jesus used illustrations and stories to tell deeper truths so that we human beings kind of latch onto it, be able to hang on to it and understand it and make sense to us, right? It's one thing to preach and talk about God, but if no one understands it, what good is it? If we don't feel like it applies to our lives, like, well, what does that have to do with my life? That's no good. But when we feel the Holy Spirit and we receive the Word of God and we can apply it to our lives and go, well, this is something that I can hold on to in my real life out there, not just the churchy stuff here. And this isn't churchy, isn't religion, it's about a relationship with Jesus. And what a difference that makes, right? So Jesus says, okay. He's going to give another story, another illustration. It says the same day, Jesus went out of the house and beside the sea. That sounds good, too. Go to the sea, get away from it all. And so Jesus did that. He went out to the sea, and a great crowd gathered around him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. So he's there at this beach, and he got all these people, and Jesus goes into the boat, and he starts preaching from a boat with all the people gathered around. And he tells them this story. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered them, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart have grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.'" But what does all that mean? Is God playing games with people so that they purposely don't understand? No. The whole idea is that we will not get to know God through human intellect, our own willpower, or anything on our own. It takes the Holy Spirit to turn on the light in our hearts, and then we go, "Oh, I see," right? You ever had that aha moment where maybe a sermon or a message or a song really speaks to you a lot? Like in Sober Recovery, I think that happens every song you pick in the Sober Recovery. It's like, "Oh, I like that one. Oh, I like that one too. Oh, that's so good. He's talking to me all the time," yeah. And it's so cool when God does that and God turns on the light, but He has to turn on the light. Nobody by nature has the Holy Spirit just because they're here. We have to accept Jesus into our heart, right? Live for Christ, and then He comes inside us with His Holy Spirit, and oh my goodness, it's like seeing everything in HD. I was watching an old football game, and it was the old TV. That's it. How I used to watch sports. Wow, we really get spoiled. And the same with the Holy Spirit. When He brings all this to light and into our lives, oh my goodness, and then we feel the joy and the hope, and we're sitting on the edge of our seat going, "What's God going to do next?" It's that adventure of following Jesus. It's not like, "All right, when's this little talk over and let's get on with life." This is life. This prepares us for life, right? So anyway, Jesus used these stories so that the people who had hard hearts and were very critical and didn't really care about God or thought they were smarter than other people or thought that they had it all together and were very self-righteous, this all happened so that they would not get close to God in that way. Everybody has to come like a child, right? Don't you love the kids in our church? They are awesome. And I've noticed they all love being here. You don't see kids screaming, coming and screaming in here, "I don't want to be here." They love this place. And it's so cool that it's a welcoming place for them and they feel the joy. And we're all supposed to be like little children. And that's not childish, but childlike. When we come in here, it should be like, "Okay, Father, what am I going to learn more about today?" I've got a new iPhone, and I'm trying to learn to figure out how to talk to Siri. I'm trying to convert her because she doesn't know anything about Christian songs. At least it doesn't know much about sports either. Anyway, we've had some interesting conversations. She started giving me knock-knock jokes the other day. I go, "What?" I think I said something about joking, and then she started rattling these off. So I'm trying to figure her out. I don't know if you've got any help with me. I need it because we're not on the same page. She said, we're on the same page now. No, we're not. We're not at all. Anyway, some people are that way with God. They don't understand God. And they go, "Why did God allow that to happen? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why? And what does God say in that song? Just trust. Have faith, right? Believe. Because He's a whole lot smarter than we are, right? So anyway, so God used stories so that the wise guys, the people thought they had it all together, would not get it at all. And little children who were hungry for Jesus would get it. So that's the whole idea of the story, of telling stories. Now this story talks about different types of hearts, different types of how receptive a heart is to hear the Word of God. So Jesus tells a story, and he goes, takes a trip to the country, if you will. He says, "Okay, here's this illustration that everybody would understand. A farmer goes out to sow a seed." Now, it's not like a tractor out here with a planter, but in those days, the farmer would have a big sack of seed, like sometimes still today, and he would just cast the seed out all over. Just keep doing this, and the seed would fall on different types of soil, right? And the first one is very rock-hard soil, which I can relate with here in Arizona. When we moved from St. Louis to here. We used to have a huge garden in St. Louis, gigantic, and had raspberries, and had a pear tree, and an apple tree, and a vegetable garden, grew potatoes and sweet corn, and really good tomatoes that were juicy, not like out here. Anyway, well, we had this huge garden, so I thought, well, I'll do the same thing in Arizona. And we moved out here, and we moved in March. We got stuck in a blizzard in Oklahoma for 2.5 days, and we came from that blizzard to 95 degrees in March. I go, whoa, this is different. And palm trees and cactus and nothing familiar, no shade trees. And then I thought, well, we're going to plant some trees in our yard, our front yard of our new house in Aujuki, which had rattlesnakes. That was another interesting thing I wasn't used to. And scorpions. Like, what are we moving to here? What is this place? Anyway, I was going to plant some queen palms because I'd been to California. I thought, oh, those are cool. I'll grow those here. In the front yard, we'll have this little island with palm trees. I started digging that ground. So what in the... Oh, that must just be a bad place. I'll try it over here. I broke 3 shovels trying to grow. I go, this is nuts. What kind of soil is this? And now, I think back when I go back to Illinois and I see that lush, black soil everywhere, it's like somebody dumped all this potting soil everywhere. I go, how come they got it all good and we got this? So anyway, rock-hard soil, as you know, if you tried to do any gardening or whatever. That's the condition of people's hearts without God. Some people are so rock-hard. No seed from the Word of God didn't even enter. And so they're in a church service or at a crusade or a Christian concert or somebody trying to witness to them, and the seed is sown, and it does it go into open heart? No. If the heart's hard, I don't need God in my life. This is stupid. Only idiots and fools need God. And so nothing penetrates the heart at all. It just falls. And there's nothing that comes in. So that's one condition of one heart, the type of heart that's not receptive to the Word of God. And hopefully there's not anybody here that rock hard and hardened against God, because that's a serious situation when we have turned our hearts against God and it's totally hardened. So that's the first example in this. The second example in this trip to the country is that the sower starts and he comes over here and over to the side here, there's some soil that's a little bit better. And so he plants that. He comes back later, and it's grown really quickly. It's come up. Wow, it's real fast. But then, it doesn't take much, and the sun and the heat, as we know about that, just kills the plant. I tried to plant a garden in June in Arizona when I first moved here. I worked in Illinois, end of May, June. That's when you plant a garden. That didn't work. And I tried to water every day, and that wasn't even enough. Like, this is really weird. What's going on here? So, in the same way in this illustration, that's where the seed germinates. It grows, but there's no root, and it grows up really quickly, but it doesn't sustain, and it dies right away. And Jesus gives the illustration here of a person who accepts the Word of God immediately. They hear it, and they're so on fire. Oh, Pastor, I'll be here next Sunday. I'll be here. I'll go to CR. Oh, I'll be there. I'll help you out, Robert and sir. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do... And they overcommit themselves. They get all excited, and then something happens in their life, some affliction or difficulty. They go, well, hey, I thought if I followed God, everything would be perfect. Does that work? No. It's better, much, much, much better following God, right? Right, Hector? I mean, it's just so much better, but not everything goes our way, right? It's like we're spoiled little kids. God, I want this, and I want that, and I want this. By this time, of course, and then we just assume... Sometimes we kind of think we're entitled little kids. Does that work? No. He's got a whole different plan for our lives, and sometimes it involves testing and trial and tribulation, right? So that our faith grows and is deepened even more. If everything was just wonderful, it's like living in San Diego. I imagine they take the weather for granted. We don't. We go over there, oh, can actually breathe. It's a nice cool breeze. But after a while, I'm sure they get used to it. And the weatherman, well, once again in San Diego, high 75, low 65. Same for tomorrow, same for next week. Goodbye. And now it's sports. You know, it just gets mundane. So we need the sunshine, we need the clouds, and God uses it all. But for the person that has the shallow heart, doesn't have any root or depth, the devil comes, and that seed is there, and that faith is there, and he just grabs it right out of them. So we have to protect our hearts against the evil one, right? And against this world, and even against our own sinful nature. He goes, oh, you know, it's so hot out there. Let's just stay home. Or, you know, it's raining. Oh, boy. And when it rains, like we have emergency broadcasts on TV, monsoon hits valley. Oh, no, it's raining. What are we going to do? You know, everything shuts down. But a lot of times the devil will allow us to use excuses and say, yeah, use that excuse and give us excuses not to be in the Word of God, not to worship, not to go to church. Like, oh, nobody will miss me. Which is not true. And so that person has a shallow heart. How do we have deep roots in God, in faith, you think? Every day we say that all the time, but it's very true. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God, praying as well. So we're communicating with God, not just telling Him what we want, right? What is prayer, really? It's just talking to God and listening to Him, right? So he says, oh, can I have a word here with you? Can you quiet down a little bit? And it's hard for me to quiet down, but when I do, and I'm still, and can perceive and sense the Holy Spirit like the other night when we prayed for you, oh my goodness, it was amazing, wasn't it? Just amazing. God is really here in a special way. And so we pray that we get deeper in God and that we have deep roots. There was a lady from Arkansas. We were in court, and I go to a lot of court with a lot of my families as a social worker, and we're sitting there, and it was after all these storms we'd had last week, and we had trees all over the place, and this lady did too, and she lives way out in Waddell, and she goes, what is it with you people? I go, excuse me? She says, what is it you people here in Arizona? I'm like, what do you mean, you people? She says, don't you know how to plant trees? You got to have trees that have deep roots so they don't just, the least little wind, they blow over. He says, we have tornadoes. We have F4 tornadoes in Arkansas, and they affect the trees, obviously. If they don't pull them out of the ground, they have deeper roots. I go, I never thought of that. But here, at least a little wind in Palo Verde, oh, there it goes. Right? There's no root. We need to have deep roots so when the difficulty comes, when we get burnt and through the fire of affliction comes our way, we have deep roots so we have a faith that keeps us going. We're just saying that's what faith can do, right? And without, can you imagine going through trouble and difficulty and hardship without God? And cancer, or health problems, or addictions, without God? Well, without our higher power, without our Lord and Savior, how can we, right? Yeah, good luck. And that's not, luck doesn't, that's not much of help, is it? You know, so anyway, this other part of the story is not to have shallow hearts, but have deep roots. As we go deep into God, it sure makes a difference in our lives to get closer to God. And that's another thing. Are we closer to God now than we were before? It's so easy to drift. It's so easy. All right, next part of the story. The farmer sowing seed in a different part of the field. And he sows it, and it comes up real good. And it's fine. But uh-oh, we forgot the herbicide. Nobody came in and pulled the weeds out. I remember Robin talked last week about that. Nut grass. I never heard of nut grass in my life. Well, maybe that was the problem. I had hard ground, and I would think Anna had nut grass. Because they had, that's not fair. How come the weeds grow and my garden doesn't? What's this place? Where am I moving to here? But here the weeds come, and they choke the Word of God. And the illustration here Jesus talks about is that someone's doing well in the faith, they're growing, and then all the riches and the cares and the worries of this life choke the faith. And that's really hard as church leaders when we see that happen. It's heartbreaking for us because we invest ourselves in God's kingdom, right? As leaders, we live to see more people come to Christ and grow in their faith. And when we see people growing and going for God, it's so great. And then it's absolutely heartbreaking when they turn away. And it's fine if they go to another church, but when they stop having that connection with God, I know Robin struggles with that, Pastor Rick, myself, you guys doing Celebrate Recovery, when we rejoice with those who are growing in the faith, and we're so happy about that, to see a harvest, and then to watch that harvest go bye-bye, it's like having a terrible hailstorm and a farmer watches the crop, and out in the Midwest, they have the hailstorm, and then it'll just wipe out that crop, and it's devastating for that farmer. Well, we're like farmers planting the seed. It's devastating for us. It's really, really sad. It's very depressing many times when we see people come to faith and they're coming here and they're doing this and then we go, where'd they go? And maybe we have a PowerPoint about different members of the church and that person's not here. And, oh, whatever happened to that person? So we're called to reach out in love and keep reaching out to people so that even in ourselves we protect our hearts so we don't fall away. Does Satan love get us away from God, right? He loves to do it. But if he does, we can always come back as we repent. So this situation here is someone that just gets caught up in life. It could be the good things in life, right? Not bad things, but good stuff. And somebody gets a promotion, and we rejoice with them, and next thing you know, their job takes over their whole life. And that's all their life is their job, right? Or it might be dating. Oh, boy, that's always fun. And then you find someone, you find that person of your dreams, and everything goes into that, and Pastor and I have seen that in Robin over and over. I've got to have a man. Got to get a man in my life. Got to get a woman in my life, and then I'll be happy. And they get that, and then what happens to the relationship to God? Oh, that goes bye-bye. Well, I got a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, and it's not built on Christ. And next thing you know, they're pulled away, and if that person's not a believer, and usually the non-believer pulls the believer away, not the other way around in a marriage or a relationship. Sometimes it does happen the other way, but so it's very important that we have relationships with those who are equally yoked, as the Bible talks about, that we both have a common faith in Jesus, so we can build each other up in the faith, right? But that heart is the heart that gets choked by the cares and the worries of life. The worries of life, the problems of life can be overwhelming sometimes, the difficulties, right? Just as an example, last Monday my daughter got a new job, which is great. My daughter-in-law got a promotion, a new job at PayPal on Monday. My parents' house sold on Monday. All this happened in one day. And after no breakthroughs for a long time, I had a sense last Sunday. And it was at Ricky's class on finances where I was listening. I was taking all that in because my daughter has some financial challenges. And here, lo and behold, with all her financial challenges, she gets a job at a financial institution in Ahwatukee. She's back in, going to be working in Ahwatukee just down the street from the church that I started out there. I was like, whoa, what is going on, God? But all that happened in one day. And then, does life go that way all the time, though? Everything perfect? No, because the next day, the contract comes in, and they're trying to get me to sign the contract, my parents' house back in Illinois. And I said, okay, just email it to me. Well, we're having problems with our printer and with my email at work. So I finally print the contract so I can sign it. I'm going to email it back. And the printer at one of our buildings doesn't work. I thought, well, I'll just go to the other building. That doesn't work. I go to UPS, and that doesn't work. I go, okay, I've tried. And I confirmed with a real estate agent that I had the correct email address, so I knew it. So I tried three different times. I go, well, does this just happen to me? Well, I'm not very good at technology. And I'm going, what is going on? I can't email this contract, and there's a deadline to it. So I try, and I try, and no work. No good. I go to UPS, and I go back to the office, and I assume that I'd get it. He still didn't get it. He says, okay. He says, well, we'll try to fax it. So we finally fax it, and it came through. But I'm going there for a while. I need to get this contract in before the deadline, and what is going on here? So if you multiply that with all the problems you guys go through in your life, all the things that don't go according to plan, right, and we get sometimes overwhelmed with life. Like this happens, and Paul, we were talking about all the things you've been through, all the deaths in your family in one year. And it gets to accumulate, and we go, God, I don't know how much more I can take. And the Bible does say that sometimes life throws at us more than we can take so that it forces us to rely on God who raises the dead. So sometimes we do have impossible situations and only God can get us through, right? But we need to have that open heart, receptive heart to Jesus and to the Word of God. No matter what happens to us, we still stay the course. And we have that open heart. Now here's the good news. Find the last part of the story. The farmer's throwing out all that seed, and some of it falls on good soil, that good black dirt that's fertile, that's real productive, and this seed grows, and it gets deep roots, and it actually has a harvest. It bears fruit. And it has different degrees, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You know, nobody can really understand the power of the seed, right? You think about a dead-looking seed, put that in the ground, and it produces a harvest. You know, you put one seed in, and you get all this that comes back. And so God wants us to have open hearts to the Word of God so that there's a change in us so that we have a harvest so we bear fruit. Like when I saw that wheat field, I believed, and God told me that you will be in a ministry that has a lot of harvest. And we do here. Think about the jails. You know, Rick and I have talked about it. We wrote down all the neat things that have happened in the lives of people in this church, right? Think about it. Celebrate Recovery, all the jail services of men and women, English, Spanish, all the different things, and people coming from all walks of life of this little church, driving from who knows where to come over here, right? From all parts of the valley. It's amazing. And it's not like it all stays here. It's like a river. People come here, then they go somewhere else. And if we put together here in our church all the people impacted by Amazing Grace, we'd have to have a huge cathedral, right? So there is a huge harvest. We don't see it. And then, Daryl, how many hits do we have on the website just recently? 8,000 last month. That's hard to comprehend. So I'm thinking right now, okay, in addition to all of you here, there's like 8,000 people in Vietnam and Indonesia and Africa listening to our little church. That's kind of scary. You know, like, whoa. But that's the impact of this church. That's the harvest. So we give thanks to God, don't we? And it's only through God. It's only through the Holy Spirit. And He keeps us going. The finances have been kind of tight this summer. God's still there. He still blesses us. We still get through. Here we are, right? And you think about your lives. You go through difficulties and how I think about you sharing how God's given you a whole new look on life, right? And the joy you have in the Lord and worship and serving. You love serving God. You love worshiping Him. And that's the harvest. And all of you are a harvest story. And Ricky, all the things you've done. Veronica, and all of you. And you, with all the time, you. We could go on and on, right? How God's used Danny and Hector, all of you. It's just really cool. That's what's exciting for us. Money couldn't buy the joy to watch people come to know Jesus, right? And that, just think about that. That's for eternity. So somebody's going to be in heaven because of you, because the influence you have on somebody else. There's no greater purpose in life than to lead someone to Christ, help them in their relationship. Think of the people in your life that brought you closer to God. All kinds of people that God put in your life. Isn't that awesome? And it does bring tears to our eyes, doesn't it? It really does. Like, oh, that person and that person. So we get kind of sour with life. We got to look at the positive of how God's still with us. And with Debbie, you got me through so many difficult challenges with my family and Joe and the church and everything else. We were very grateful because we can't do this alone, right, to have that harvest. We have to all come together. And so we're all farmers and we're all planting seeds. And you're called to plant seeds, not just the pastors. And you keep trying to reach people. If someone doesn't like what you're saying, go to somebody else that has an open heart for the seed of the Word of God to be planted, right? So, we all want to bear fruit. And I got an illustration here that we're going to, an edible illustration, but later on. And that we all want to be delicious, refreshing fruit, not fake fruit. And sometimes the strawberries here almost taste like they're fake. These are not fake, I hope. I hope they're delicious and sweet and refreshing. But what kind of fruit? Now, these are different colors, right? It's not all the same. But you can bear fruit that someone else can't. And what kind of fruit are you producing in your life? Where people love being with you, they get are drawn closer to God because they're around you, and there's something about you that makes them thirsty and hungry for more of God. It's like with the coffee we drink here. And when you were drinking your coffee, I said, you should do a commercial the way he was sipping in the coffee. I go, he should be able to give a commercial on that. But we want to make, we're like appetizers. We should make people so hungry and thirsty for God. They go, I want what He has. I want what you have. With that great smile you have. Even though you're going through all that you're going through, it's not going to take away your smile and joy, right? Amen. And no matter what we go through, the challenges of life, we want to have this delicious fruit. And we want people to enjoy God and taste and see how delicious and refreshing the Lord is, right? And so the Bible talks about bearing fruit. It talks about the fact that without Christ, we can't. We have to be connected to the vine and the branches. And as we are, we will bear fruit in time. And it takes time to bear fruit, right? Didn't happen to Danny. The first time he came to church, it was like, oh, it's all got it all together here. All fixed, all worked out. But it's we're all part of the process of bearing fruit. And what is the fruit? The Bible talks about love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How much of that fruit's in your life? How much of that do you need a little maybe fertilizer, a little more sunlight, a little more water, a little more nurture and care? You need to pull some weeds in your life? We all have weeds in our heart to start, uh-oh, that's not good. I'm starting to think this way. I'm going back to my old ways. Let's pull those weeds out right now before they get so big and so overwhelming like Pastor Robin talked last week. But we can't pull them out anymore. You know, it's hard to get them out. You need a jackhammer. Get those weeds out. So we want to keep bearing that fruit. So let's just think right now, what fruit is bearing in my life? And how can I bear more fruit? What can I do to get even closer to the Lord? And how can I prevent my heart from becoming hardened or choked with life or burned out with all the afflictions we go through? Because we can get burned out real easy and say, well, enough of that, church. Forget church. And, we don't want to, if God doesn't going to come through for me, forget it. Well, we want to have that fruit. And in closing, I wanted to go back to one of the songs we just sang in our closing. That's what faith can do. Because that's what we're talking about, a truth. Because if we have real faith, it won't just be going to church. It'll be demonstrated in the way we live out there, not just in here, right? People will see a difference when we have true living act of faith. It says everybody falls sometimes. Got to find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Well, that's true here. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You got to face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move mountains, hope that doesn't ever end. Even when the sky is falling, I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers go answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water. But it will be all right. Life is so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. Overcome the odds when you don't have a chance. That's what faith can do. When the world says you can't, it'll tell you you can. I've seen dreams that move mountains, hopes that don't ever end. Even when the sky is falling, I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers go answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. Even if you fall sometimes, you have the strength to rise. That's what faith can do. And we see that here, right? We see that's what faith does. And so we give thanks to God for the harvest here. Just think, all that's happened, this little church. Donna, how many people were coming to this church when Pastor Rick first came? Yeah. Well, I'm glad that Cindy and Donna and Shirley are not the only ones here today. Wow. And it's just, we thank God for what He's doing, right? And what He'll continue to do. So we want to keep that harvest going. We want to keep planting seed. And don't stop planting, because if you don't plant the seeds, then you're not going to have a harvest, right? But the more we sow, the more we plant. And with Shirley, all you've done in VBS and the women's Bible studies and everything, all of us, we all need to be part of it. We all need to be in the game and be farmers. Not just, oh, we got Pastor Rick and Robin, they're the farmers here. No, you are too. And we're going to give you've got the stack of seed of the Word of God. You've got as much of the Word of God as we do. So start throwing that seed out. Don't just keep it, don't just hide that. No, get it out of the barn and get it into the hearts of people. Like we're sharing what you're doing. Taking that risk. In Spanish and going to Mexico is amazing. Impact you have and Marcy and all of you. Yeah, we need to encourage each other. Don't stop. Because so many things in life will tempt us to give up. But Scott, it was worth it, right? The journey you're on. You know, isn't life's better, right? Much better, yeah. So we want to keep doing it. And we want to keep getting that seed out there. The people out here, the guy who's doing his roof out here, that he'll know God enough to want to come over here. And the guy that ran into the tree, hopefully he's doing okay, that he'll come to know Christ somehow, some way, and not to give up. And to that, all we can say is amen, right? Amen.